It's working. Okay, we are at board time, May 28th, 2014. It's 1:30, and we're going to get started.
That sounds pretty official.
It's official now.
So, 1.1.
1.1.
You guys have a copy of that.
Yes.
We used to have membership here. We had Commissioner Stewart was on the board here. Mm-hmm. And so we paid a dues or contributed to that because mm-hmm. we had somebody there. Mm-hmm. You want to take that on?
No, I actually researched it, and these are the two pages I pulled out of it. They don't list us as a partner from on their page, and their data is really old, and you try to find, like, this is economic development, page not found. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't look to me like it's a valuable resource in Portland that was going to that Clark County citizens should be given thousands of dollars to for this kind of results.
So I think the last time we reduced it to...
I think you could be right, sir. They did mention in their letter that they're continuing a reduction of dues. They charge per capita, so it was 2.5 cents per capita, now down to 2 cents, which would make our invoices for $4,154. So,
who is using this?
You know, I haven't been too involved with it. I did read through it. It looks like they work, you know, it's through the university to work on projects of regional significance and workforce development, economic development, transportation planning, that kind of stuff.
We have our own transportation. We got RTC here. We got Workforce Development Council that does all that stuff, focuses on that. Do we know if any staff is using this as a resource?
That was my question, too.
I personally don't know. My assumption would have been... You know, maybe I don't know if it goes all the way back to when Mr. Pridemore was a commissioner, or if it was Steve on the board. My assumption is that Kelly would get some of the reports he would generate from them. Okay. Maybe it's something Jeff Swanson would be interested
time,
in. But
can I recommend that we go back and see what last project they worked on with us?
And if we don't find anything that is of value, return on investment for the citizens of Clark County, then I would not suggest that we renew it.
I think so.
So hold the invoice and research what the last projects or information.
See if you can find out, has any staff member used that?
We might even follow up by touching base with Kelly or Steve and see if they can give us a date to start with.
Well, I wouldn't go back to previous employees. I would say if it's either current, current employees are not using it.
It might shorten up our research. In other words, if we did something in January of this year, it'd be nice to notice, to go look at what the
looked, they have projects on there, and they go like 2010. They don't have anything current, not for...
Okay, so we'll put it on hold until which time we find
let's put
project.
It on, let's say... No money unless we can find a reason that somebody says, wait a minute, it's very valuable, that somebody would speak up and say, that is important.
Okay, we'll hold it, and we'll find out what we've used from them in the past or lately. Maybe ask Jeff Swanson or somebody if he knows anything
more
Jeff
about might it. Have some
he might have some insight.
Well, if he's, I would say we might be of useful information to them, but we wouldn't have to pay them to give them benefits for their community.
See, we recently backed away on another project with Multnomah and whatnot, and that was on the readiness for response.
RDPO. It was the regional emergency management thing.
And come to find out that we were so far ahead of them that we would be an asset just to go to their meetings to help them, which we have agreed to do, but we're not paying any dues.
Yeah, we're still going to participate. Okay. No problem.
Great.
Just cooking along here.
Yeah, we should.
Parks Board,
we're still needing
some... By the way, just to wrap that one up, I'm assuming that if you find something that says positive, we should, then you bring that back. Otherwise, assume the answer is just simply no, just continue it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll hold the invoice. We won't pay anything until we come back to the board if we find something.
Okay.
And I don't suppose that'll take very long. The next one, so what do we have, we call it, right? Parks Advisory Board. So we had...
What do we call it?
I think it's PAB is what I got sketched down here. Parks Advisory Board.
Is that on here?
Although we are in, we are.
Not,
oh,
I don't
know. Oh, there
not,
it is.
Not CPAB?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just making it up here. Clark County Parks and Recreation Advisory Board.
Recreation?
Commission.
No, we changed that. It's Park Advisory Board last time.
Yeah. Ab.
Yeah.
Well, but are we?
It's not Recreation. It's Parks Advisory Board.
Parks Advisory Board.
Yeah. Yeah, where are we on that?
So where we are is, I think we're still looking for some direction from you all. I think, now, we sent out the press release originally requesting applications for 3 vacant positions because there was 4 county-appointed positions on the old advisory board that I think, at least in theory, we were going to transition those people over, reappoint them to the new PAB, and then fill the 3 people with the applications that we received. So what has happened is we've, I think, received 8 applications from new folks. We have the information. I was told you guys had the information as well on as the new applicants as the old applicants. So you should have the 4 new or the 4 old applicants that we were looking at reappointing. They're all their information as well as the 8 new applications. And I think from the staff perspective, what we need you guys to give us direction on is, is it your intention to reappoint those 4 and then do the interviews from the 8 or so applicants for the 3 vacancies, or do you just want to open it up, put everybody in the pot, do interviews, and appoint 7, you know, arguably totally new people, or maybe a mix of the old and new?
I think we were talking because of the interest of the people who had been on the other board, but we had a problem. There was at least 1, maybe 2 that we didn't get a hold of.
There was, I think, in the information I had, there was 2 that we didn't get a hold of, but had, I think, expressed interest in staying on the board to
Mrs.
our park staff.
What's her first name?
Yep.
Marsha Keen was one of them, and they had were on vacation when we had originally went out. So I would contact them again, make sure that their interest is still there. And then we'll do the same thing with the 3 or 4. Are we open positions?
We have 3.
Three more positions.
Remind you of the conversation
4.
We had on this?
Yes.
The conversation that Commissioner Medora and I had on this was that he felt that all the previous applicants and the new applicants should be put into a pool and interview equally for the new advisory board rather than just simply appointing the people that had previously served, that he'd like to have them all apply equally and then have interviews with them.
Well, actually, to treat them like every other standardized kind of advisory commission that we have, which is create a notebook, put the positions in there, put all the applicants in there, all the incumbents are providing their information equally along with everyone else, and then we'll each make a decision as to who we want to interview from there.
And currently the policy has been that the incumbents get an automatic interview, but not an automatic appointment. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's been.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought we got past that, that we didn't want to go back and interview the incumbents. Because we were talking about, you know, they are volunteers. But no heartburn. I could do either. I didn't want to make it any more difficult than possible for incumbents to still want to be there.
Well, I think it's really important that their focus and their passion and their interest is appropriate for the unincorporated area of Clark County, which is very different than the city of Vancouver with their recreation program with Marshall Center and
I think
and,
you know that there was something to be said about that, and that the broadening of their experience, and then the fact that when they come over here and we have staff get them started along a new route, that they'd be enthused about doing things differently.
Yes, in addition, the additional discussion was that this gives you an opportunity to meet the incumbents by having them coming in for an interview.
Who met them before?
Well, some people have, I guess.
You probably met them before, too. Anyway, yeah, we'll do
that. So what that means is we'll have a grouped pool, I think, of about 12 applications. I think you have at least some information on all 12, some more than others.
I have something on my desk, but I could be wrong. I don't think it's that.
I think you've got this packet, because I just stole this off Jennifer's desk, and I got to put it back. But it has information, I think, on all the new as well as the previous members.
Interviews already set up on my desk.
Oh, really? Well, maybe you are one.
And I don't remember what it was for. I don't think it was this.
Okay.
So then I
guess the question from us would be, do you want to come next Wednesday with a whittled down list for interviews? How do you want to take that group of 12?
She gives that to us in a book.
Yeah, we just pass it through. Just like every other board that we appoint.
She puts that in a book, puts the incumbents on the top. And I think they have rotated times.
Yeah, they have staggered terms.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Can
staggered
you
terms.
Ask Jennifer just to set it up with all the other advisory boards?
So,
okay, so instead of like this packet, you want a binder.
Her binder, like she
always
does. Just the normal process we've already established as standard.
She's not there.
Yeah.
And I really want to be able to talk to them and learn from them their vision mm-hmm. for the future, because I remember, a year ago, when basically their vision was not our vision.
Their vision was
to pay. Well, it was basically based on their feedback. Pay $40,000, I think it was, to a consultant who basically said they want to raise the park fees or keep the park fees and create a new tax district for all countywide. And it was like completely reverse direction from the direction we've gone. I don't want to inherit a different vision. That's not compatible with where we are going. I want to be able to talk with them and make sure that if they want to continue with that kind of passion with the city, they have opportunity to do that, but also to know that if they want to go a different direction, I'd like to know what direction they want to go.
I think it's up to us and staff to say, this is where we are today. We are still, remember we talked about the mission statement, that we thought that they should be involved in the mission statement, mm-hmm. and they should bring that mission statement and goal to us, and that way they become part of it. They understand it, they put it together, and they know firsthand what the mission of our
now
park
is. That's after they've already determined who they want to be. Yes.
That first direction.
Yeah.
Being different from where they came from. I think they're going to be excited about it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
It's a great opportunity.
We'll get you that binder, and then we'll go from there on the interviews. That's it for 1.1.
Me too. You got something, David?
No.
No?
I'm good.
I had a couple things. I'll talk about my analyst position when you come to vacancies. Quiet zone. I'm receiving those emails, and I'm getting emails of something I'm not aware of, and I think they might be mistaken, is that they insinuate that we're having weekly meetings, and they're not being invited.
Well,
we're not having weekly meetings, are we?
Well, not with the board. We met with you guys last week, Heath and I, to tell you where we are with the sound study and that,
progress.
And I made them aware that. What I've been talking to them about is we are, as a staff, meeting almost weekly. Matt Hall, myself, sometimes Heath when he's needed, Tom Walsh, who we've hired to try to manage the project. So that's where that came from. And in my last three emails, I have invited them to come in, sit down with us, and see kind of the direction of our thinking and what we need. It's been a frustrating project.
Well, it's a combination of progress report and problem solving as the different mandates come before us.
Right, and you know, there's only so many options we can do that the FRA will approve, and we had always hoped to go with the median, but we've got those steep slopes on the east side, and the citizens, undoubtedly, the ones that live very close, they want us just to run with the median, put it in, and do it. But you know, when the construction manager and the engineer go out there, because you have trucks and trailered boats going back and forth to that marina,
mm-hmm.
and it's so narrow, widening into those steep slopes with the amount of water on them became a real issue and a concern. And quite frankly, we said it's not safe to dig into those hills without either a further geotech look at it or probably some significant cost to bunk it up.
We're on track to do that.
We're going
to
look at the hillside and take probably a few cores and just see what's, you know, see if it's feasible for a cost-effective fix to widen it a little bit and bunker it on each side so we can get the median in there.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're probably going the direction of the crossing arms, which will be more expensive, but mm-hmm. it has the highest safety rating, and you know it we don't have to deal with the hillside
so
that way. It's all alongside on the intersection.
Actually, is basically send them the same message from the board.
Okay.
And I got the impression that they were barking at you a little bit and come to me to bark at you too. So I thought
they did, and I told them, I gave them Mark's phone number. I gave them your guy.
I wonder how they got my email
address. Well, I said if you want to contact the board, that's always your.
So
you know,
I think what we should do is give them a statement of where we are, what we're doing, and what these meetings consist of. That they're not really open public meetings. There are problems that we've had along the way to get to a point that we can offer up to the community as to what they think they might or what we might be able to do and what they might have to participate in.
And I'll put that together. And okay. Then what I would like to do, I just want so badly to get off of the, once we're off the cliff of which safety measure we're going to use, the project will move much quicker because...
Yeah.
Then we know the cost, we know what it is, and we can start doing it.
That's what I was thinking about, putting those options out there. So this is where we are. This is what we're looking at today.
And it's just been the evaluation of the safety measure that's been so frustrating because the hillside is really plaguing us on the median side.
Sure.
And this is another thing that's been difficult with the folks closest to the noise are the ones that are most interested. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
The folks closest to the noise do not want necessarily to evaluate the wayside horn option, which I understand and I can sympathize with that. But we're not and what I tried to explain to them in the last email was the piece about gifting of public funds. We can't just spend road fund dollars or taxpayer dollars generally to have a net gain or benefit to a few people. We got to evaluate all options that are going to benefit the majority of the community in the neighborhood. And so we can't just, you know, have a few people come in and say, well, we don't want to look at that option because we don't like it.
Speaking of trains.
Yeah, there you go.
Would you like to have that rolling by your backyard?
That's right. And so that's been part of the difficulty is giving a fair chance to all the options while keeping those who live the closest interests in mind. And so I'm trying to balance that. But I think we're going to get there. We basically just need to do the big piece is doing that sound study because we have no way to form a legitimate nexus to each of the homeowners to ask them to help pay for the fix if we can't show the amount of decibels and noise at their location.
So in the letter, what I would like to do is give you my emails that I'm receiving, and I don't know how to do it. You probably do. Is that we would give that same message to all the people that sent us emails, and you can do the same because you probably got emails too. And then we send that same message to them, talking about what we're doing in meeting with other staff members. We talk about our progress, what the reports are. We're reviewing the options and the cost, and we're still doing studies.
Yeah, and actually on that last email, I'm trying to get. Ahead of it, I've invited them in, but we are having a meeting. I'm going to have a meeting with the staff next Tuesday. As a staff, Matt and Tom and I were planning to get together next week to look at where Tom's gotten with kind of really ratcheting down the cost estimates for a couple of the things, and then also the plan for establishing that RID once we have the noise study. So I invited them, and I'm trying to schedule that time where it works. There's three folks who are really involved with it and really care, and so I said come to the meeting on Tuesday and we'll talk through it. So
what was your first? How long has it been going on?
It's been going on a long
couple
time.
Years.
A couple
Last,
years.
Yeah, a year and a half.
A couple of years.
So that's
and,
how it's hit the commission's
desk. And part of every time we thought we had it, the railroad would come up with something different. And it wasn't the railroad; it was the people on the other side of the railroad tracks.
Oh, it's been FRA, BNSF.
Had to have it surveyed.
Surveys to find out who owns what and where we can go, and then the geography on the upper side with the. It's just.
But I think what they're wanting to know, they just want to know where we are. We are not to the point of solution yet.
Yeah.
We're in the process, and that's what we need to share with them, so that they don't come back and start. Pointing fingers that we're not doing anything. is that we're doing something above and beyond what we normally would do for a group of small group of people.
We're trying to do the right thing. It's just a slow project.
Okay.
Wait, I have a question. Did you say there's a consultant being paid for this?
Yeah, we brought on Tom Walsh to do some of the kind of more detailed work, like the cost estimates for, like, working with, because this thing is eating up so much of my time, and it's not what I do. So remember, we came back to the board and worked with Heath on his small works roster to have somebody help us get those cost estimates and then the plan for the RID together, putting that road improvement district together.
Do you know how much money we paid him?
I could get it from Heath. He's billed back.
It's part of Heath's
small
contract
works budget.
So much money.
It would be like the geotech, then they would reimburse them.
Is that coming out of the road fund?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that an active? Are we still paying him?
No, yes, it's
part
an active
of what we
project.
We authorize Heath to use these people up to a certain dollar amount.
Yeah, I got that.
Not
part.
Just for this project, for all the projects.
Yep, I remember all that.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking, if we're paying a consultant to do these studies, and this is the same kind of information we've had months ago, I'm just thinking that we might not be spending our money wisely paying this consultant. It may be, I'd like to be able to know where we're at, how much have we spent, how much are we planning to still spend, how much is that open order, and what do we expect, what have we got out of it so far? What's the results?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's sort of we were going to meet next Tuesday to go over kind of where we are with those cost estimates and how to establish that RID.
Can you bring that forward? Because I like people to know, so we don't have a blank check, just simply throw money at this as a consultant, because we might end up after a while spending money on a consultant when we actually could have done the work instead.
Sure, yeah. And that's one of the questions. I mean, one of the questions is, you know, how much are we spending on the soft cost, so to say, to get the estimates and get the plan versus the construction cost?
We need to share that with the neighbors.
Yeah.
So they know that we're above and beyond where we should be. So that's good information to come back with.
So one-on-ones maybe with Mark, or maybe you guys want to talk to Tom?
Why don't you pull together the package of information so we know what has this consultant given us?
Okay.
What do we know? Wasn't there a date set aside to do the, what do you call it, the directional whistle or horn test? I thought that already passed. Will you go out there and actually test it?
Yeah, we were going to do the wayside horn, and we were trying to work on scheduling that gentleman to come up and do the demonstration, but the folks that lived the closest they were animate, they did not want it, and it wasn't, they were going to, the one email I received from an individual said if there's no point in wasting the money and bringing the person up here to do the wayside horn demo, because if you select that, I'll fight it to no end, and I'll knock on every door in my neighborhood, and
you could kill this whole project.
Well,
okay.
So we didn't do the demonstration because the people who have been the most involved in this have said flat out, no, we don't want the wayside.
So there's basically two options left.
So we're back.
And that one's out.
That, well, yes, in my mind, that one's out because it doesn't make sense to pursue an option that people are going to fight,
right.
Especially the people who want it the most.
The two options that we have left are widening and doing the geotech on the slopes and so on, and the full crossing bars
is kind of where we're at. And there's one other slight variation, which would be if we could do a crossing bar on that steep side and then a median on the marina side, you might be able to do a combo of the two.
Do we have the cost for the crossing?
Yeah. That's what he's been working with BNSF on, is tightening up the... Because it's a little complicated, because you got to do all the work in their right-of-way. Usually they want their people to do it, so getting those numbers together is kind of tough. But it's according to them, it's in the ballpark of $500,000 if you do gates on both sides, and then you got to do the wiring to the box, and then there's an annual maintenance cost of it. It's, you know, a few thousand bucks to maintain the new circuitry. Now, whether or not how much of that's negotiable or not, and then one of the other things that gets brought up by one of the citizens out there that I think is a valid and good point is, with all that's going on with Burlington Northern and them wanting to bring more rail traffic through our community, whether it be coal or oil, is there an appropriate time or place during the SEPA process for these projects to talk about mitigation and maybe talking, you know, having that conversation with Burlington Northern.
Pay for it.
Well, you know, in turn, if you're going to be bringing more trains through, more horns in the community, maybe that's something they could do to offset some impact.
Someone said you're going to take 5 years to get all that through, so if they want to wait 5 years, they might want to do something about that.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I think, you know, obviously everybody wants it done.
I think we should stay focused, continue where we are, bring back to the board here the amount of money that we're spending on the outside engineering and geotech type work.
Okay.
I'm curious.
At some point, we need to cut.
Okay.
If the cost was $500,000, are we assuming that the homeowners would foot that bill?
They would have to, and that's why this has been so complicated is when the median wouldn't work with the steep slopes. You know, the board was very generous, and they said it, and Pete Capel at the time was involved, and he said, you know, if we could get this thing for $30,000, $25,000, it would be cheaper just to go out with our crew and do it than to try to set up a road improvement district, which you have to assess everybody in the area, you got to do the noise study, and you got to try to figure out, you know, who should pay what for how long. Well, now we're in that. That's why this has been such a hassle. Is now we're into that tier of a project that's expensive enough that we really can't ask the county taxpayers at large throughout the county to pay for this improvement. It really needs to be something that community and that neighborhood pays for. And so we got to set up the road improvement district, which is not an easy thing to do. You basically have to have a legitimate reason to draw a boundary, which is why we would need that sound study to find out who is benefiting and impacted by the train horn. And then we've got to get those people to agree to assess their property tax at a higher level over a number of years.
Sounds like it's getting really technical. I think that we should see how much we spent so far, because I think somewhere along the way, if we're starting to bump into these higher dollar figures, we need to cut and run, and say, I guess it's going to stay the way it is.
Okay, so I'll do a...
We've been 2 years on this.
We'll gather up everything we have, and I can lay it out to the both of you, and we can decide how you want to move forward.
And you can still go forward with the letter and to these people as soon as possible.
Is the consultant, Tom Walsh, is he providing you with preliminary reports along the way?
Yeah, so we he just came on, so it's been a couple of months, three months. But so Tom's been basically taking kind of notes of our meetings, especially when we sit down with Burlington Northern, and then also he's come up with a pretty lengthy sort of plan and matrix for how we would evaluate the different variations of the safety measures, and that's led us to basically where we are now, which is the limited options we have, and then that led to why Heath and I came to you guys last week to say, hey, we're going to spend a little money here on the noise study because we've got to have the noise study to establish the RID.
No, we're not going to do that.
And we're going to do the noise study. We're not going to do the wayside horn demo.
Okay.
And then the core samples, the geotech, to see if the median is still a possibility.
Was Tom the first consultant on the job?
Mm-hmm.
He's the very first consultant you've hired. And how long has he been?
I think 3 months.
We have Heath has an open account. We authorize so many $100,000 for the year, and then as they need them, Heath brings these people on, and with that, within that budget, he has anticipated the projected work for that year, and that's how we authorize that.
So I would assume that if we keep it simple, if you use the crossing bars, it's $500,000. That takes away all the terrain whistle, right? All the terrain. You don't have any kind of a horn,
mm-hmm.
right?
You have lights and bars.
Yes and no. So the way the quiet zone works is when those trains come within their quarter mile or whatever it is where they're required by law to sound the whistle, they should not do that anymore. The problem down there is they've got a... It's kind of a holding area, so they'll pull trains aside to wait for other trains or however, you know, whatever they do, but they have a holding spot there. So there's two ways that a train whistle will still go. One is no matter what, when they start to move a train from a stop position, they have to blow the whistle. That doesn't change. The other thing is, if for any the law allows for, if for any reason an engineer feels unsafe or that there's a safety issue, they're always allowed to blow the whistle. And so there may be the occasion where the engineer chooses to blow it anyways, although, you know, it's that's not supposed to be the norm. But it should cut down on very much, you know, the majority of the train whistles.
So if you're just talking about those are exceptions,
mm-hmm.
but you want to make policy on the norm.
Yep.
So if the trains are normally flowing through that crossing, right, that's the norm,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That if we had a improvement district that would basically pay for that $500,000, all of that is voluntary, right?
Yes.
So the neighborhood association itself would be the ones to take the initiative to see whether or not they're willing to pony up the money to pay for that, right?
Yes.
Are they, that's a lot of money. How many homes are involved?
About.
I mean,
that's the
take a number, approximate guess.
Well, the noise studies for
that. If so, I had Bob Poole look at this, and we did a just a makeshift map to give ourselves something to look at, and I think it included 500 parcels. But I don't think anybody thinks that if we did the noise study, that it would include 500 parcels. So, you know, and I've done the numbers
so,
100 ways. But if it was 200 or if it was 250,
okay. So if it was 200 parcels, that would be for each of them to pony up $2,500 one time is not likely.
Well,
right?
therein lies another
call.
Question. Before we establish an RID, my understanding is the two of you would have to approve that go forward.
Well,
now, for this infrastructure to get put into place, the idea would be the county would pay for it and put it in. So you guys would actually approve the expenditure.
Not until their homeowners association was put together.
Right, and agree. So the county would pay for the infrastructure. The RID, the Road Improvement District, would pay it back to the road fund over time.
Okay. So basically, what I'd be able to do is just boil it down to simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
If do they have an association that covers most of that area?
They probably do.
So I would assume that they've had an association meeting that's talked about this. And I assume that there's a sound study would cost money.
It will.
Before we do that study, I would think that their association would weigh in whether or not they're even in the ballpark of being interested in that kind of price. Before we put thousands of dollars into...
What's that? Even, I don't think there is a homeowners association down there. They're all independent. And that's how come we started off with that one little group.
Yeah.
And how we got introduced to that, Bill Barron was one of the people down there, and it was just the word of mouth. That's how we got started.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all assumption. We don't know anything until they come back.
We know very little about the community at large and how they feel about
yeah.
it. I know a lot about how.
So we have to establish the community. That's what the noise thing. We got to move on.
Yeah.
We got to find out where the noise is going to be affected.
Well,
who would be part of it, and then we go to them then. And at that time, we have to have the numbers together and say, "This is what you got. Are you interested, up
yeah.
or down?"
How much does the noise study cost?
I think when we talked about it last week, it was 10,000 to maybe 15. I don't know. I can get a harder number.
I would say before we do a noise study and spend 10,000 for that or 15,000 for that and maybe 10 or 15,000 for a consultant, we're spending potentially more than if we were just go through and modify the bank or something. And that we would, if they're not already organized, well, we should already know, are they organized or not? And they ought to be able to, if they're not organized, it's not likely they're going to be able to organize to raise that kind of money for that kind of benefit.
Yeah.
So we don't have to work it all out here. But I would say before we spend any major money on this, let's talk. I might be able to find out a little bit more about this to make sure that we're not just spending money for studying. I know that we've already given a
company right.
a blanket PO for that department to spend money for
projects.
Yeah,
I didn't realize the study was costing that much money. And here we are. We're looking at 25,000 men.
Yeah,
haven't
just
started.
Ask questions.
So I think we need to go find out what the homeowners are interested
yeah.
in.
Yeah, and then one thing that they've brought up. Now again, I'm just working with 3 to 5 people depending on the day, but these are folks, some of which I think have some considerable means, and they're talking about, well, you know, potentially why do we need a road improvement district if we can get enough of us that are close together that have enough funding? Can we just do a developer's agreement with the county to pay it back? Just us.
All of that is voluntary with them, and they can take the leadership of that. If they want to organize to raise the funds, we can give them a couple of ballpark ideas. After all, after working on this for years and spending months of time at a consultant on this, we ought to be able to give them some kind of a ballpark idea of one or two or three options on ballpark costs and say, which one would you prefer before we invest some tens of thousands of dollars to study further?
We would like to have to go to those two or three people and say, you guys need to tell us. You guys need to go talk to your neighbors and see if they're interested. We're going to be looking at $500,000. We have spent to this date roughly $15,000. I don't think we should go forward until we know if they're interested. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spend another $10,000 and find out that they're not interested.
Yeah. So they're going to say they're interested because they're blowing my email. Let's do a little homework afterwards
and pull together the package so we know what we got.
Yeah,
and we'll at least focus on this.
What are we doing? Another
pair of eyes. I want to be able to do a little homework on this and see if we can just boil it down and say, okay, we know enough ballpark with choice A, B, and C to say, okay, organizers, your work, not ours. We'll be happy to do the work if you can raise the funds. Here's the three choices. What do you want to do?
That is exactly where we're trying to get to. That's been the hardest part is the jumping off point for which safety measure. And I think it's boiled down to either those crossing arms or some kind of fixed infrastructure for the medians. And I think that's where it is. And so we should be able to give that to them.
Well, I want to see the package. I don't have anything.
Yeah.
I want to know what has this consultant given us. I want to see it.
Yeah.
And I want to know what the invoices are that totaled what we paid for that.
Okay.
And you want to know how much it's going to cost?
I want to know what we paid already. And yeah, I'd say hold the presses on spending more money on this. I want to know where we're at.
Okay.
So if the neighbors have... All this time looking at it. Here's what the consultant said. The neighbors look at option one, option two. This is a ballpark figure, what it's going to cost. You get buy-in from the neighbors, and that really should be their homework.
Yeah,
that's right. They bring back to us, and they say, yeah, we've got buy-in from the neighbors for option one. Mm-hmm. We can raise the money for that. We can be involved in that.
Yeah, I'm at it.
Then you know where you're at. Right now, you're operating in the blind. You're just throwing money at it.
Well, I know where I'm at.
Let's go see where we're at.
Share that back with the homeowners. Then the homeowners are going to have to organize themselves because I think before we invest $500,000, they're going to sign on the dotted line before we go forward.
Right, and they would need to.
And they'll have a ballpark figure where we're going to be, what it's going to cost them. But they have to organize and be together. I don't think they are to this day. If they were organized, I wouldn't have six people send me emails.
Well, more to come on that. I'll get it packaged in a report. All right.
We still have in limbo right now is what to do about the DES budget. So we need to have a plan B what we're going to do with that. So I'd like to see that come forward because I'm concerned because we're looking, by the time we get something put together, if we're going to change what we have, we're looking at 4 months, not 5 months, to raise $500,000, $1 million. Need a plan B. I don't want to wait until December and say, it looks like we need to pull out of our reserve money to pay for it. And if we draw down reserve money, then we're going to a negative on reserves. And you don't want to be below 47 days.
And we need to make sure that our assessor has what he needs to be able to send out the property tax bills in time with the new stormwater fee on it.
There could be a separate billing.
The bills aren't, I think they normally go out in February of next year.
No, that we paid. It could be a separate billing. It doesn't have to be on that.
Well, we're way ahead. If we get our homework done this year, we should be able to have it in plenty of time for him to include that in his normal billing. That's what I'm sure.
Plan B. Okay. I want to bring up what's going on with Stuyvesant and Rusty Grape. It's my understanding that the sheriff went there, and it was a combination of noise and a fence that was taken down two times after the Stuyvesant paid to put their fence back up. And the police officer said it was a civil thing, that they had to go to civil court.
Yeah.
And I'm troubled by that. Are we not enforcing our code? The fence might be a civil matter, but they went out there because of the noise. And for the sheriff to go out there and say it's a civil matter, then the sheriff is ignoring the ordinance that we have in place.
Yeah, the fence issue would be a civil issue, right. Property line thing. We are, I know, enforcing the sound ordinance.
They were told, Steve Stuyvesant told me that they were told it was a civil matter. Now maybe
on the noise.
They did nothing.
Because I know I talked to code enforcement last week because Mr. Stuyvesant had contacted me, and they were going to go out there and
We'll find out what we've done then.
Okay.
I understand that the fence would be a civil thing.
I want to make sure that both code enforcement and sheriff have the sound equipment that was ordered a long time ago. They received it, and they're using it to enforce the code standard, right?
Yeah, they do, because I went down there, and John had it, and they
both
were...
Both of them? Sheriff and code enforcement? Can you verify?
Yeah, sheriff, I'm not positive. But.
Commissioners, I also spoke, also had sent that to Mark McCauley to ask him to look into it, and he did.
Oh, okay.
And he made another inquiry with the sheriff's department to be sure that they were... Everybody was on the same, and they did say that the fence issue was a civil matter. It was a property dispute, fence line issue. The Mark has continued to assure us that the code enforcement has been very diligent in following up on every complaint about noise, and they've been out there. So I asked Mark to send me the send it to Commissioner Medor the.
Records
log. The process that code enforcement uses.
And each one individual, so that's Marty Snell.
So
Marty was going to go to those who were not in compliance and help them come into compliance and give them a reasonable time frame in between. So just a good update on all of that would be good.
And I can provide you with the copy that. Of the process, of the forms that they use, and this is what they do, step one, step two, step three, step four.
Yeah, I just want Marty to tell us where he is.
On Rusty Grape?
On Rusty Grape, where are they as far as being in compliance?
They should have pulled all of their permits by now. Last time I went, this is another thing, last week I had to go down, and I think they're working with Lou, and my last conversation I had with Marty and John Dunaway was they were with John Dunaway, but they were ready to go. So Jeremy should have came and pulled all of his permits.
Okay.
Now that doesn't mean all of his truck, you know, obviously until the work is
Marty,
done.
Marty's going to give him reasonable time to do it. But I just wanted to make sure that we're going to go out there and enforce something that we know where we are on everything.
Yeah, his permits should be pulled by now. I can check that today, but they were supposed to be ready, and then he needs to do the work to come into compliance.
Yeah.
Is he the caboose? Were you done?
I bet Marty has that off the top of his head, because I think we only have one or two that are in the process of coming into compliance, possibly Yakult.
I wanted to ask, what is the status of all the wineries?
They're all in different stages. Like Moulton Falls right now, they're working with them. Jim was a little frustrated with Moulton Falls because they were doing the work without coming and pulling the permits. But they've given they gave their plans to Jim a couple of weeks ago. So it's a lot of that's communication, because we get a call from Moulton Falls saying, "Well, we gave them the plans 2 weeks ago, and we haven't gotten our permits." And then I called Jim, and he says, "Well, they haven't come in and got their permits yet, and yet so I've got calls going back and forth between to get them all on the same page.
I think
a lot of it is not communication.
So you're still with this.
Yeah, each one of them is a little different. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we're still working through with all of them.
And that's up to our staff working that out to
and they're
put
doing
their
a good,
foot down.
They're doing a good job, and they are they're trying to work individually with each one of them.
It's really making us look silly. We've been at this for how many years? When they come back and they say, hey, we're not in compliance because the county doesn't know what they're doing. That's what they say.
Well, then you talk to the guys working.
And the other thing I want to bring up, today we had a good report of technology improvements with the healthcare and the process that they're using to go out in the field, enter into their laptops, and it automatically comes back in under the same program that they have now, and we seem to not get animal control here. So I'd like to have an update on what animal control has done to do something as simple as what healthcare has done.
Okay. Joe Laxon. Joe Laxon's indicated he'd be very happy to facilitate and help.
Well, we have the health, the assessor department said they would help him, and now we have the health department. Both have done it without being asked, and we're asking animal control, and we haven't got it yet.
Well, I don't think animal control, Paul Scarpelli, is able to solve this problem. They can do their job, but this is something that we would need to equip them with so they could do their job better, and that where Joe Laxon, I think, could be a key ingredient to make that happen.
Now, who does assessor have?
Joe Laxon. I don't know, but Joe can.
That's my point. I think we have staff members already there that have that.
Well,
knowledge.
Probably just simply drawn from IT.
But that was one of the things that he came back and he did the same thing the treasurer did. What? You give me another $20,000 or $30,000, and I could put this program in place. Now we've got two other departments or agencies that have put it in place under current budget with current staff with stuff that you already had.
Okay, so ask Marty and Paul to connect with Joe Laxon and maybe the assessor's office.
Why don't we work with we'll probe Joe's brain and find out what he can do, because really Marty and Paul Scarpelli are the customers that we can then bring to them something that's to set them up.
Okay.
That's all I have. Staff report.
A reminder that I think next Wednesday we're going to have Mike Burgess here to kind of do the closeout on the session, but then it's never too early to start talking about next year, so just a reminder to kind of be thinking about that over this week, any stuff from WASAC you may have remembered or picked up or stuff.
It kind of blew me away with WASAC.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a roll call on the vote.
Well, I can tell you what happened. It was the Thursday. It was the smartest, most efficient, effective, well-run 8-to-5 meeting I was in a long time. They had it all organized with questions and ratings, and we all had these individual vote by RF little clickers that we could say score 1 through 5. Everyone, we answered hundreds of questions, and we got all loaded up in the database. And we went home. And we thought. Or back to our rooms, I thought that was our best way to get the objective answers, be able to sort it all out. And we all expected next day, let's look at the numbers and say, that's it. But that's not what happened. That night, they had a meeting with their leadership team, threw it all away, and said, the next morning, said, and here's our agenda. Yes or no?
And they accepted that.
Pretty much. It was a little fine-tuned, and it was entirely different. We all felt, not all of us, a number of us felt used and wasted our time.
Well, then what we need to do is rectify that. And the way you rectify that, you find out who voted for it, and you go back and make a motion, have them voted on the prevailing side. They're asking for a revote.
Well, the problem is that the majority of them approved that method that next day.
I don't think they... do what they were voting for.
Well, a bunch of county commissioners, they should have.
Yeah, it was pretty heavily weighted.
We can leave it alone if we want. Leave it alone. It is what it is, then.
Yeah, so Mike will be here, and we can get started on next year's session, and that should be fun. That's all I got.
We have bacon to review?
Yep. Yeah, you got a couple from Public Works. Steve Schulte has announced his retirement, and they're requesting to bring someone in with some overlap.
We knew it was coming. When did you leave?
When is he
going to
leave?
In September. It looks September 5th is his
good
date
man.
There. Yeah, so we're going to really miss him, and they want to be able to have some overlap with Steve and whoever they hire to replace him.
Are they thinking any of these internal?
Is that what they do?
You know, I don't know. My assumption is they probably would, you know, open it up internal, external, and maybe have some internal.
I've looked through each of these, and I'm good with them. They're all replacements for retirees. And and all of them are taken from the road, well, the two road funds, which is not the general fund.
Is Steve one of these?
Yeah, Steve's position is in there.
He's the second one.
Highway maintenance specialist, we have one of those open because of a retirement.
Retirement.
And then we have a custodian out at the Public Works Operations Facility that is also a retirement.
That's fine. It's all
so
Public Works.
So we go out internally first on applications.
It should say on there, so it depends. Some are different, some are internal, some are external. This one looks like proposed recruitment, internal promotion, or transfer. That's for the highway maintenance specialist. And then they put external recruitment for Mr. Schulte's position.
I see that there.
And then
so
internal promotion, transfer for the custodian position.
I appreciate them saying external recruitment, but it's mind-boggling to me that had Mr. Schulte dropped dead 2 days ago, there'd be nobody here to take his place. So I want to look inside, have Heath look inside his department and see if there's someone that could be considered.
Yeah. Let's have that conversation.
So that's what I mean before we go outside to advertise. That
I expect he's already covered that base very well. He's really a sharp leader.
What they said about assuming?
So at the minimum, let's talk to Heath about.
He's a great director. He's a terrific.
You're
leader.
Assuming.
Well,
not like you. You never assume.
Well, let's improve him with your idea.
So I want to make sure.
Make sure it's
so we all
open internally as well.
Yes.
So at a minimum, externally, internally.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if we do it that way, we might find a little shining star we didn't know about. And if not, then we go outside. And we have time to do that, though.
Okay.
And the other was another retirement. Oh, my goodness.
I got something when you're ready.
Three retirements. I'm good.
Okay.
You want to do over?
Yeah.
Okay.
At our work session this morning, you saw how the audio system failed.
Oh, yeah.
We got to make sure that we get on that.
Do you know what the problem was on that?
No.
I think Rebecca was the last one in. Maybe she knows something.
Oh, also, can you make sure that Rebecca or Tina, whoever sets up that room, when they leave the room to turn off the projector, it's quite often left on and it's got a limited bulb life on it. But also related to the audio, whatever they do to fix that, when Susan from the Clean Water Commission spoke at the public comment yesterday, she mentioned that the audio recordings, they're depending on that for their minutes, and the audio recordings are not picking up the public comment. So we want to make sure that whatever they're using, that they're
that,
set up.
That happened to me one time on my Lower Columbia Fish Recovery Board, and they put a phone or receiver out here, and the guy doing the presentation was clear down there, and I couldn't hear him. So they need to be aware of that if you have a large room, you're going to have to need more than one speaker or something, because that's what happens.
Well, I wonder where are they having their meetings, because if they're having the meetings in the training room, they should be using the same equipment as we were using today for a work session, and everybody's got the microphone, and so they've got a system already set up.
I think they are.
Well, they might be just using this somewhere sitting on the table, and they might not know about the better method for recording work sessions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They should be able to have access to those training rooms, be able to use those that equipment and know how to use it and plug it directly in. I would be surprised if they were not just simply setting one of these on the table somewhere and using it and not taking advantage of the better way.
Okay, so reach out to them and let them know what's available.
Well, them, and I wonder about the other, what are the other commissions doing, using? I make sure they all know that about those available resources so that they work well. Give them the advantage. Set them up for success.
Okay.
You have down here in, oh, it's a work session.
Work session request. Department of Environmental Services, that was the Clean Water Commission annual report. They're requesting to come in, I think, late July, it looks like, 30th, to give the board that report.
Okay. That's what Susan Atkinson said. We always did those annual reports, and I was never aware that the advisory board did the annual report before. One of the things that she said that wasn't very untrue, but I didn't want to embarrass her.
I got a meeting with Don at 4 o'clock today. I'll ask him about the participation, both historically and currently, to make sure that the advisory board...
She's a good person. She's been there since its inception. And she was the naysayer. It was a 6-1 vote. And what she did was not right to come up there and speak in behalf of the failure of the Water Commission, because she was a naysayer. If she was a naysayer, her report should have consisted of why she voted no. But not to come up and complain and say everything was done wrong. But she's been part of it since its inception. All right. I don't have anything else.
I've got one do-over.
Okay.
Doug Ballou, I think, I'm reading back through this now, but I think he had run into maybe you, Commissioner Medore, and Mr. Kimsey, but he was talking about maybe you guys having some interest in touring BPA's facility and going out there and kind of seeing what BPA does in the community at their real-time operation center.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to check in with you and or with the both of you, see if you
Andrew,
also...
Andrew can go to my place and
Going
wrong.
All right. So anyhow, I just... Doug sent it in an email, and I wanted to check in. Do you want me to schedule that for you guys? Or?
Yeah, work with Anna to schedule that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're scheduling all the important stuff. We're going to do a fireworks demonstration just to make sure we know what's legal and what's not. Very
important.
Are you
going to that one tomorrow? I'm going to that one tomorrow.
I don't know about one tomorrow. Oh, I have a RSM meeting tomorrow.
30 or something like that?
Oh, that's Diana Kretschmar. Diana Kretschmar wants you to be able to be dancing with those senior citizens tomorrow. I would be there, but I've got an RSM meeting.
It's to a senior citizen.
Yeah, they think all the men are handsome.
You're on that board.
It'd be good for you.
You could shake a rag.
I would, but I have a bad leg.
Well, so do all of they. So
do they.
So
I knew that was coming.
They wouldn't know that. They're so grateful. It's just so
it's
fun.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
It's a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
I wish I could be there.
Forecast tomorrow is sunshine, too, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be nice.
Yes.
This week.
Anything else anybody could think of?
Me, Holly.
Nothing, Holly. Thank you
all
for being here. You guys have anything to share?
Well, we're wondering about the commissioner. Who are you going
to? Oh, you missed it. We missed it.
Tuesday.
David Medore couldn't agree with me yesterday.
I heard that.
Actually,
you know, everybody thinks that we're hooked at the hips.
Oh.
But then when we get in this room in here, they find out that we are very independent people, very much our independent minds. And I had to confess the other day, we got out here so late, I went to the freeholders deal, and I commended them, of all of them coming to an agreement on the freeholder thing, well, almost all of them. I said, because there's only two of us, and we couldn't agree at the end.
So you haven't not canceled.
We have rescheduled. We have tasked ourselves to put it in writing on a piece of paper the pros and cons of the candidates, and scheduled next Tuesday at 1 o'clock executive session for us to go back and argue our pieces of paper. I mean, discuss. And I go back out and hopefully come to a conclusion, or to at least be able to vote with some idea of agreement about 1:30.
So next week, Tuesday.
Short answer is
June
next week.
Three.
Stay tuned.
That's the plan.
That's the plan, as it is today. So we've been scratching a lot of things lately.
Okay,
all right, thank you, everybody.